morning. I trust everybody is happy to be here today. God has woke us all up. We all should be happy about that. And as we think about God's word, it is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. We should utilize it. In the process of utilizing it, we will learn what to do as well as what not to do. If you are visiting today, we do want you to know that you are our honored guest. We are blessed by your presence, and we are thankful that you've come our way. It is my hope that everybody has come with an open mind as well as an open Bible. In Luke 11 and verse 28, the Bible teaches that we are blessed if we hear God's word and we keep it. You'll be blessed just by reading his word today. And you'll be even more blessed if you keep it. I want to thank Brother Ken for reading the scripture. Thank Brother Hal for the songs. And thank Brother Quentin for the prayer, especially the things that he offered on my behalf. And as we try to delve into this lesson, I don't intend to keep you long. But what I want to do is, I want to set the stage by reading Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 once again. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That verse lets us know that our mindset, our heart, the thing that we use to think is deceitful. It's important that we look to God for direction so we can know how to do things properly. Scripture has said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways than your ways. As you think about that, we're living in a time in which mankind feels that they can do and say what they want to do, and it's acceptable. But I will warn you, God's word will warn you that we should not do things that we cannot prove. We should know the truth because the truth will make us free. I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. And we'll look at verses 25 through 33. This is a familiar passage, a text I think is kind of timely during this time of year, especially the holidays. We have so many that are deceived and misinformed about what life is really all about. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. As you think about this, I want to ask you a few questions. If you were asked, can you give a scriptural reason for what you do and teach religiously? Could you answer that question yes or no? Do you worship the Lord in spirit and in truth? Do you wear any religious name that cannot be found in the Bible? Is the church that you are a member of mentioned in God's word? Have you refused to obey the simple commands of Christ? Are you claiming to be a Christian, yet you engage in worldly practices? Do you absent yourself from the assembly of the church? Are you growing spiritually? Do you truly love the brethren and even your enemies? In 1 Kings chapter 13, 1 Kings chapter 12, I want you to meet me in verse 25. We'll read to verse 33. This is where our lesson will come from. Then Jeroboam built Shechem and Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of his people turn again unto the Lord and even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calf that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered unto the altar which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the months which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. As you think about this, we need to know God does not care if we are high in reference to people. God is a God of order. God has always been concerned about worship. God is concerned about what we do, how we do it, when we do it, and why we do it. God does not leave anything to chance. Jeroboam was a man who was so focused on the people going back to Rehoboam that he devised a plan in his heart to change a few things to have it his way. When it comes to serving God, it's not like Burger King. You can't have it your way. It's God's way or no way. Now, as you think about this, you have to understand and look at the fact that this is an Old Testament passage. It is written for our learning. It is written to show us some things about mankind, and it's still relevant today. Our heart can be deceitful, and it can cause us to do things that are contrary to God's word. So we should be careful. But as I look at this, we need to understand and know this. Jeroboam, if you look real quick as we survey the text, Jeroboam was all about convenience. We have several conveniences today in this world. For instance, in your home, most of us have microwaves. We have cell phones. We have so many things that create conveniences. And there's nothing wrong with conveniences as long as they don't contradict with God's word. See, Jeroboam, the first thing he changed in this text, he changed the object of worship from being God to calves. The second thing Jeroboam changed in this text was this. Jeroboam changed the place of worship from Jerusalem to Dan and Bethel. The third thing Jeroboam did in this text was this. He changed the priesthood from the tribe of Levi to making priests of the lowest tribes. The fourth thing Jeroboam did in this text was he changed the feast day. He gave a counterfeit. He gave them something that looked like the original. See, what we have to do when it comes to what God wants us to do is sometimes we have to do, like if you go to the grocery store and you give them a large bill, maybe a $50 or $100 bill, you'll see that cashier, they'll hold it up to the light. And what they're doing is trying to look for some identifying marks to know that this is authentic, to know that this is real. God left the people of Israel the commandments of what to do and how to do it. I'm just surprised that nobody stood up and said to Jeroboam, God does not tolerate idolatry. God does not tolerate idol worship. Jeroboam, this is wrong. Many times today we have people that have to come to whatever is going on. It seems to me that somebody would have remembered that God led them out of Egypt. Somebody should have remembered that God fed them in the wilderness. Somebody should have remembered that God gave them water to drink from a rock. Somebody should have remembered that God gave them quail to eat. Somebody should have remembered that God blocked the enemy so he couldn't get to his children by night. Somebody should have remembered that God led them through the Red Sea on dry land. But the tragedy is this. Nobody stood up to Jeroboam and said, this is wrong. We're going to do this. There are many today who are just like the Israelites. They follow and believe a lie. There are some people that are religious, but religiously wrong. They revere their pastor so much, some religious people, they look up to the reverend so much until they are afraid and reluctant to stand up and say that this is not the word of God. My prayer is for the church that we will require and expect book, chapter, and verse for anything that is said from the pulpit or from a Bible class. God has never been interested in lip, tongue, and teeth. He wants the scriptures, because those are the things that will guide us. Those are the things that will cause us to do what we're supposed to do. Let's look at this text real quick. Verse 28. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Look at the lie that Jeroboam told them. He told them that these are the calves that brought you. These are the gods that brought you out of Israel. Now, if you were to go back in Exodus chapter 20, chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God. What caused them to forget this truth? They heard a lie. They believed a lie. They accepted a lie, and they followed a lie. Now, we have so many people today that love people so much that they'll do anything that they say. And when we need to know that it doesn't matter if it's the president of the United States, that we cannot succumb to what they say. They say now that marriage can be between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. They say you can do whatever you want. It's my prerogative. That may be in the world, but God still says, not so. He rejects that, and we need to hold on to that. God is not a person that he should be mocked. Now, the scripture tells us that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That's Psalm 118 and verse 8. We need to trust the scripture, because the scripture will never leave us not knowing the truth. When you think about Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah says, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. So we can't even direct ourselves without God's word. And we need to understand that. Because if you understand that you can't direct your steps and do what God wants you to do, it helps you to open your Bible and read it. Because you want to know what you need to do. Because after all, when you know you're going to be judged from God's word, it only behooves you to know it, what it says. How will you know what it says if you don't spend time reading it? Don't trust what the preacher says or an elder, whoever. God expects you to know his word for yourself. The best thing that we can do is study for ourselves, be like the Bereans, and search the scriptures to see if what's being proclaimed, what's being said is accurate and correct. And if it's wrong, pull a person to the side and say, brother or sister, let's talk about this. Because the scripture said, can two walk together except they be agreed? We can only walk together on doctrine. Now, the second thing that Jeroboam did was when he changed the place of worship. Look at verse 28. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Notice he said, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Who can determine for us what's too much? Let's say you're eating your food and you cooking your food and you putting salt on your food and you like it a certain way. Somebody tell you that's too much. It might be too much for you, but it's just right for me. Imagine somebody come to your house and say, you know what? That's too much groceries. Brother Beans, in your house. It's too much. What if somebody came to your house and said, you love your wife too much? You love your children too much? Who are you to tell me what's too much? Now, if God said it's too much, that's a whole different story. It's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of Egypt, of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. So when it came time to worship, he said, you know what? God said, Jerusalem, it's too much for you. I'm going to give you Dan. I'm going to give you Bethel. And you know what they said? They took that hook, line, and sinker. But when you look at that, that goes on today. We have folks that say, you know what? You don't have to assemble with the saints. Just turn on your computer, stream it, sing some songs, and give online. And you know what? You had worship. It's convenient. But God says to not forsake the assembly as the man of some is. So if God said we must assemble, that means we have to do it. Regardless of how convenient mankind has made it, God said this is what you have to do. You must do it. So in Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So as you look at this, Jeroboam said, it's all right for you to go to Bethel. It's all right for you to go to Dan. You know, it's a tragedy that the Israelites went to Bethel and Dan in spite of the fact that God said Jerusalem. It is similar today in the religious world today. God says one church, and folks say any church will do. They didn't get that from the Bible. They got that from a lying preacher. You know, Satan does have preachers in this world. They are transformed to present themselves to look like light, but they are deceiving the minds of the ignorant, the unlearned. So we need to study God's word so we know what we need to do. See, the Bible says we ought to be Christians, and somebody says we don't have to be Christians because there's nothing in a name. They don't read that in the Bible or in the word of God. They got that from a dishonest preacher, pastor, the reverend, or pope. Now, I don't know any responsible adult who believe there is nothing in a name. The only place that they believe that there's nothing in a name is in the realm of a religion, and that makes no sense. Now, as you think about that, let's just get practical. If there's nothing in a name, you couldn't even get your mail. If that were true, you couldn't even cash your check. If there's nothing in a name, how about you say, okay, Donald Trump, you give me your check, and I'm going to give you my check. Folks don't subscribe to that. You know, what about when it comes to children? What about if it comes to children, somebody say, you know, that's not your child, that's my child. If a mother carried that child, they know their child. Folks don't believe that. How about going to McDonald's? How about taking a McDonald's sign and putting it on the Burger King and saying, this is a Burger King now? Folks ain't going to accept that. What if you take a Walmart sign and go to Target and say, this is now a Walmart? Folks don't subscribe to that. They don't believe that. But I don't understand. Nobody believes that foolishness. There's nothing in the name except in the realm of religion. The world thinks that God is so gullible and that he would just accept anything that comes from man. Don't let anyone mislead you from what the Bible says and teaches. See, Jeroboam changed the object of worship. He changed the place of worship. God said Jerusalem. Jeroboam said it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem in spite of the fact that God said Jerusalem. Now, when you think about that, how is it that they were deceived so easily? When they had all those examples of God always meaning what he says, those individuals who were led out of Egypt, they saw and they heard about Nadab and Abihu being disrespectful and not doing what God wanted them to do. They saw the end results. But you know what? They hear this king say, hey, look, it's too much for you to go. But when you think about that, we're living in a world in which mankind say, you know, I'll make it convenient for you if you do what I want you to do. There are many false teachers leading folks astray, just like Jeroboam did in our text. For example, they say, it's too much to find the church in the Bible. Here's one. It's too much to be buried in baptism. Sprinkling is all right. It's too much for you to sing only. Get some mechanical instruments and a choir. Let's raise the roof on this place. See, mankind today has taken upon themselves to alter God's word. And the majority of religious people is falling for it today. It was wrong when Jeroboam altered God's word. And it's still wrong today when anybody alters God's word. See, Jeroboam, he changed the priesthood. In verse 31, let's look at it. And he made the house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Now, if you go back in other chapters like Deuteronomy 18 and 1, Numbers chapter 3 and Numbers chapter 18, you'll see that the priests are supposed to come from the tribe of Levi. And when you make them of the lowest tribe, then you will have created a counterfeit. You've created a group that's going to try to do something that they haven't been ordained to do. And they are, you know, that's just, it's just sad that folks knew that. Folks knew that, but they accepted it. Many of us know that, you know, hey, God requires that we do things specific and in order. See, let's do it like this. So if they said, okay, in the world today, we all know if we go out to get our driver's license, number one, you have to be of the age. You might be 12 years old and say, I want to get a license. You can't get it because you don't meet the minimum requirements of age. So number one, you got to meet those age requirements, right? Then you got to pass that written test. Then you got to pass that road test. If you don't pass that written test and the road test, you won't get no license. Why don't we have any problems with that? Everyone can understand that these are requirements. These are steps to the process. But when it comes to trying to do God's will, people just make up things as they go. See, we're living in a world. I read something not long ago. They said if you don't have time to go worship God at a assembly with a congregation, here's what you can do. We got drive-through religion. You can come through. You can get a little lesson. You can pray. You can give. And you can go on your way and be done in 10 minutes. What is this? It's sad. But people do that. See, Jeroboam, when he made those tribes, made those priests of the Lord's tribe, that was another disrespect to God. And all of what, and he's doing all this because he don't want the people to go back. Now, when you think about him not wanting the people to go back, mankind will do themselves good to understand and know. When you are placed in a position of power, God has placed you there to either, you're going to accomplish his will one way or the other. See, God has allowed the Israelites to have leaders that will execute God's wrath because of their disobedience. And he's also placed leaders that will help people be elevated to do God's will. See, y'all remember those folks in the wilderness that complained and said that their children would die? God said, you know what? Y'all going to wander 40 years in this place. And because of the result of you not believing and trusting me, after I have proven myself 10 times to you, you know what's going to happen? You're going to die in this wilderness. And those very kids who you said that would not make it there, they're going to get to see this place. So when you look at it, we have to understand we need to trust God. See, the fourth thing Jeroboam did in this text was this. Jeroboam changed the feast. Look at verse 32. And Jeroboam ordained a feast. And it said, and God ordained a feast. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day for the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel sacrifice unto the calves that sacrifice to the calves he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of high places which he made. He did a lot of making. Now when you look at that, look what he did. He did all of that. See, if you go to Leviticus 23 and verse 34, this is the counterfeit that Jeroboam made, a counterfeit to the real thing. In Leviticus 23 and verse 34, if y'all want to have that text, because sometimes when they make these things, it's good to know where it comes from. Leviticus 23 and verse 34. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. Jeroboam just made a counterfeit. Change the month. Give you the same day. It's all right. We have to recognize when God speaks, we ought to listen. It's in our best interest to do exactly what God says, no more, no less. God does not allow man with his limited understanding and limited insight to change his will to any extent. God still says in the front of the Bible, middle of the Bible, in the end of the Bible, don't bother my words. It's all right like it is. Deuteronomy 4 verse 2. Brother Jared said this last week. I'll say it again because it's good right here. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord for your God which I command you. Proverbs 30 verse 5 and 6. The Bible says every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him, Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Have y'all ever been reproved and found a liar? If your parent gave you $100, say, go to the store, get me a gallon of milk and a bag of sugar. Okay. All you go get you get that milk and you get that sugar, but you come back with some chips and some sodas and stuff like that. You have been disobedient. You know what? I was smart enough to know when they told me what to get, that excluded anything else. Oh, I got to the store, I got hungry, so I got a Snicker. You do something like that, you're going to get a whooping or something like that. But we're living in a world where mankind feel they can do what they want to do. And you know what? They don't care. No, you can't tell me what to do. Nobody tells me what to do. That's fine. Nobody don't tell you what to do. But I'm going to warn you what God's word say. If you obey now, you won't pay later. But if you do what you want to do now, you will pay. See, we got a lot of folks that want to play with God. But here's the three principles that you can take from this lesson. All worship is not acceptable in the sight of God. See, there's vain worship, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, which is unacceptable. Let me get a couple of brothers. Brother A.C., could you read Acts 17, 22 and 23? Donald Beans, could you get Colossians 2, verse 21 through 23? And Brother Lester, could you get John chapter 4 and verse 24? I'm going to have these brothers read this, and I'm going to have you guys go to Luke 16 and verse 15 so we can get through this pretty quickly. Now, in Acts 17, 22 and verse 23, what does it say, Brother A.C.? All right.
Who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of the heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands.
Thank you. Now, as you look at that, that's ignorant worship to the unknown God. How you going to worship an unknown God? Would you put your money in a bank that nobody ever heard of, the Better Business Bureau? Man, nobody don't believe stuff like that. That just goes to show. So that's ignorant worship. Okay, Colossians 2, 21 through 23. What does it say? That's that will worship. I'm doing what I want to do. Jeroboam, I'm feeling good. I feel good today, so I'm going to call my church this. You know, I saw a debate not long ago. The guy said, the Lord spoke to me, and he told me to call my church this. He was debating the Church of Christ preacher, John Shannon, and he said, Colossians 3:17. He said, what's the name of the church? This man said, it is called the Church of Jesus Christ of Holiness. So John Sanders said, okay, all right, he put a circle on the board. He put a circle here. He said, Romans 16 and 16, Church of the Christ salutes you. He said, now, I can find my church in the Bible. Where can, in Colossians 3:17. So they turned up, they read it, and we said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. So he said, how did the Lord speak to you? He wanted him to prove the name of the church that he said he couldn't do it. He could not do it. We need to do that with folks today in the religious world because that's what they do. All right, John chapter 4 and verse 24. What does it say? See, we have to worship God in spirit and in truth because you know what? God does. He cannot lie. See, if you worship God in spirit and in truth, you understand and know according to John 8, 31 and 32 that you can know. K-N-O-W, not feel, not think, but you can know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's why you need truth. We don't need lies. Lies will cause you to lose your soul. All right, Luke 16 and verse 15, y'all should be there. The Bible says that he said, ye are they which justify yourself before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Do we understand that there are things that are highly esteemed in the sight of men that are an abomination in the sight of God, and we need to call it? See, the second point that Jeroboam, this lesson on Jeroboam teaches us is this. Popularity does not equal acceptability with God. We need to understand and know that. We're living in a world where folks feel if it's acceptable to society, it's right with God. See, let's deal with it this way. Women preachers, there's a huge push that we should accept that as being acceptable. False doctrine, wrong. You will go to hell listening and following that. Let me give you some scripture for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, because see, we got a lot of folks that do just like Jeroboam. They say and do what they want to do, and they expect you to follow and accept that. But we need to know and understand and be able to defend and show folks that you cannot do this. It's unacceptable. Joyce Meyer, she gets on there, she has a show, and you see men sitting there listening to her. And every time I see it, I say, if they open up their Bible, they would know this is wrong. She don't even have, she might have the ability to do different things, but she has no authority. And God has canceled that out. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. If you have it, say amen. All right, the Bible says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience as always, so saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husband at home, for it is a shame of the women to speak in the church. Now, when you think about that, if they are not to speak in the church, how can you preach? God says, no, this is not how I want it. It's not that they don't have stuff that they can do. God has great work for women that only women can do. And he has work that men can do and only work they can do. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at this here. Because folks need to know that a lot of folks going to lose their soul because they're following a woman. They follow a woman preacher who doesn't have the ability, but she'll sit up there and talk as if she can preach God's word, which God has not given her the ability to do. God hasn't given her the authority to do. But folks, follow this, but if they open up their Bibles and they find what things are written, they would understand and know this is wrong. And it's wrong because God said it's wrong. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. If you are to be in silence when it comes to teaching and preaching, how can you say that it is okay? How can you accept that as being okay? You don't have the ability, you're wrong, you need to stop, you need to repent, otherwise you will go to hell. And we need to know that. I say that in the spirit of love because we're living in a time where folks don't like to call a spade. Folks don't like to tell the truth. God's word will find your address and no one's trying to offend you. If you didn't know that, now you can go to your Bible and say, if someone tells you that they can preach and that they're a woman, ask me, by what authority in God's word do you get this? Because I read these verses where they say you need to be silent. And if it says you're not to usurp authority over the man, that excludes you being able to stand up and teach while men are present. That's God's word. Popularity does not make same-sex marriage, homosexuality, or divorce acceptable in the sight of God. We need to know that. Turn to Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 through 6. And we need to know God is not the author of confusion. Man is. God would never join a man and a man or a woman and a woman, despite what society says and expects us to accept. It's wrong according to God's word. Man can do what they want to do. Just because you call something by a certain name does not mean that God recognizes it. There's a lot of folks that say, oh, I'm a Christian. But a lot of folks are not Christians that proclaim to be Christians because they have not done what God says in order for you to get this name. Matthew 9, verse 19, verses 5 and 6. Look at what the scriptures say. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. And the twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. See, that's what America is struggling with. America is allowing folks to try to put asunder God's word. God's word was right back then, and it's still going to be right today, and it's going to continue on. It doesn't matter because they said this is what we want. No, that is highly esteemed among men, but it's abomination in the sight of God. And we need to tell folks this in the spirit of love. Turn to Romans 1. Romans 1 and verse 26 and 27. We're almost finished with this lesson. Romans 1, 26 and 27. I want you to see this. Paul writing said this. See, God will give you up. God will never give up on you. But we need to know God will give us up. If we don't follow his will, he'll give you up. Romans 1 and verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even unto their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lusts toward one another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. See, God is not, this is not new. Homosexuality, same sex, it's not new. This is first century. But when we look at it, God did not like it then, and he does not like it now. That's the good thing about truth. It's the same day in and day out. Homosexuality. See, that's something that's going to cause a lot of people to lose their soul. We're living in a time where there's folks that believe that choirs are acceptable in the worship of God. Praise team are acceptable. But God rejects that because he did not command that. He did not say that we can do this. He did not give us anything in the New Testament that says that this is okay. Now, I once was talking to a buddy of mine who attends the congregation where they have praise teams. And I asked him a question. I said, how do the people on that praise team look? He said usually they're between the age of 14 and maybe 30, 35. I said, how do they look? He said, I'm some man, they got all the pretty women on this. I said, you ever seen a grandma on the praise team? Some senior saints? No. I said, is that not strange to you? I said, how do you have a praise team, but not a giving team? Because there are some people that would love to be on that praise team, but when it comes time to give it up that money, they don't want to be on that. They said, I don't know. That don't make sense. Just trying to just cause dialogue to cause them to think. Just because it sounds good to your ear, a drum, someone yelling, being loud. You know, you ever wonder why they yell and they do those type things? I was thinking about this. And in the observance of babies, I learned something. Babies can show you why the denomination of the world are lost. Have you ever seen a child between the ages of a little baby at 5 or so? If they're following their parents, they're good. But if they lose sight of their parents, what do you find them doing? They're crying, they're hollering, they're yelling. You know why? Because they're lost. That's why they do those things. They are lost. If they understood what God's word says, they would not do it because he does not allow it. Didn't they try to put things and lie and say that it's on the Holy Spirit? But if you look at Acts chapter 1, when the Holy Spirit came to the apostles, you will find that they were sitting. They were not running around. They were in control, and they were doing things according to God's will. See, folks try to put stuff on God, and they lie. See, I know about this stuff. I used to go to a Baptist church, so we know. Me and my brother used to laugh because we had some folks that were family friends. Every Sunday, we knew they were going to get up, and they were going to say they got the Holy Ghost. And they were going to start saying different things and this and that. And we would say, what? What were you saying? I don't know. Now, when we use words, God has always given us a mind. What comes out is what we think. So typically we understand what we're saying unless we have some mental problems. So we know that's not true. Just because you like it, just because it makes you feel good, just because they play these instruments and you get excited, God says no. And the reason he says no is because when you sing, he expects you to teach. What are you teaching? His word. What are you admonishing? The brethren. When you teach and you admonish, you understand and you know what you're saying and why you're saying. See, and the dangerous thing about not knowing your Bible is this. You can sing a lie just as well as tell a lie. That's why you need to know what the scripture says. Study your Bible. Don't sing a song if you don't know, if you can't put scripture with it. And if you don't know scripture, speak with somebody and ask them, can you give me some scripture that supports this song? We need to just think about it. False teachers will cause you to lose your soul. And we have a lot of them. We got a lot of them that proclaim and profess. God said, he spoke to me, and they told me to do this and do that. And the scriptures teach that God is not a respecter of person. God has not said anything to any man today outside of his word. And when someone says that, you need to ask them some questions. How is it that God speaks to you and he doesn't speak to me in an audible form? And they'll probably give you some crazy, weird answer. But you got to know the difference between truth and error. You know truth when you study it, you learn it, and you apply it. Jeroboam teaches us that God does not change his will to fit man. Jeroboam changed the object of worship, the place of worship, the priesthood, and the feast day. Mankind today has changed the leadership structure of God's church. Mankind say, this is the first lady. Where's that in the scripture? Nowhere. Mankind says, I'm a reverend. Reverend is mentioned one time in the Bible and it's referencing God. Mankind says, you know, I can do this. God's word says it. See, one of the most dangerous things today in religion is the sinner's prayer. If you go on the internet and you look at that Google sinner's prayer, you'll probably find hundreds of thousands of sinner's prayers. And when you think about it, sinners don't need to pray. They need to obey. See, sinners will say, you know, I want to pray for God to love me. God already loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish. When you start looking at all these things that sinners say they want to pray for, God has already given it to you in his word. He requires that you obey. I hope this lesson has challenged you to at least look at how things can happen in this world that can cause us to walk astray. God wants us to know the truth so we could be made free. Have you bought the truth and not sold it? The scriptures say, buy the truth and sell it not. When folks tell you things in religion, don't be afraid to ask them, Show me in the scripture what you are saying. And if they're not willing to do that, don't accept it as truth. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be judged by the Bible. And we need to know for certainty what it says. We need to understand and know that God does not allow any deviations from his commandments. Deviation will cause you to lose your soul. God gave a command to Lot's wife and Lot to leave. And he told him not to look back. Think about what she did. She started down the road, headed in the right direction. But she looked back. And as a result, she became a pillar of salt. God gave a command when the Israelites in Joshua 7:8, Achan stole something that God commanded him not to do. He was stoned, entire family stoned. Uzzah thought he would lend out and put a helpful hand out, and he wasn't authorized to touch the Ark of the Covenant. As a result, he died. We need to know that God expects us to do what he says. And if we do what God says, you know what? It's enough. It's enough. If we do more than what he said, it's too much. You notice Jeremiah said, well, Jeroboam said, it is too much. See, the devil is telling some of y'all tonight, telling y'all right now, it's too much for you to be back when we meet at 5. It's too much for you to be here on Wednesday night. It's too much for you to be that example on your job. It's too much for you to do what God is commanding in the word. Yeah, he tells you that it's too much. Are you going to believe that lie? We started off in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. And let's read that one more time just for emphasis. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, this is what the scriptures say. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you're here today, you never obeyed the gospel. God wants you to know and understand that if you submit to his will and do what he wants you to do, if you believe that Jesus left heaven, came to this earth, and died on the cross, if you're willing to repent of your sins, change your ways and attitudes about doing wrong, and strive to do what's right, if you do that and remain faithful unto death, he's promised to give you a crown of life. If you never obey God's gospel, you need to hear his word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, put him on in baptism. And after you put him on in baptism, if you continue to do what he wants you to do, well, you'll hear, well done, our good and faithful servant. If you've done that in the past and you strayed away, the Lord calls you home. Please come while we stand and sing the invitational song.
Immune system is low, and she developed an infection and bacteria in her bloodstream. Monday through Thursday, she was at the hospital, but by God's grace, she began to respond to the treatment, and we brought her home on Friday evening. Continue to pray for her through this process. Thank you, and we love Arlington. So, Brother Clark, we will continue to pray for Andrea as well as your family. Let us go to our Father in prayer, please. Most holy, righteous, and divine Father, which are in heaven, Father, we approach your mighty throne of grace, giving thanks to you for this day once again that you've blessed us with. We just thank you so much that you are the God that you are, that you're our Father, that you made us. We thank you so much for your love and your kindness and your mercy towards us. We just thank you so much, Father, that you were willing to save us as we have fallen away from you, men back then, men now. But we thank you for your grace and we thank you for your mercy. Father, we're thankful for your son, Jesus, who came to this world and down the cross for the sins of the world, that through him and only through him could remission of sins be given to us. And we thank you so much for the great sacrifice that was made on our behalf. We love him. We appreciate him so much as we do you. Father, we're thankful for your Holy Spirit and the work that he has done, that he has worked through inspired men to write your word, to give it to us, that we're able to study, to be able to know your perfect will, that we can trust it, that we can live according to the dictates that you've given us in this life. Father, we are thankful for Ronnie and the way that you bless him to come before us on this morning to teach your word in such a way with such power and conviction. We just pray that just continue just to be with him, that you bless him, that you keep him healthy, that you bless his family, that you protect them. Father, we're just so appreciative of him and ask that you continue just to be with him, to bless him all that he stands in need of. And Father, we ask that